Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that a hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and the people will see it together. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who are with young. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is the word of the Lord. So this morning we looked at part of this passage in Isaiah chapter 40, and we reminded ourselves that Isaiah was a prophet 724 years before Christ. He had a vision of God in the temple, which totally and utterly transformed him and changed his life. And he spoke the word of the Lord, telling about God's holiness, God's requirements, and Israel's sin, their judgment, and their salvation. And in this passage, he is talking to a people who will be sad, oppressed, depressed, and worried. And he says to them, this is your God. And we said this morning that if we were to go around the streets and ask people what their idea of God was, we would come up with all sorts of ideas. If they believed in him at all, of course, that is. There would be some that said they didn't believe in God. Some who would say there are lots of gods. Some that would say God is within us. I am God, part of God. There are people who would regard God as someone who's always out to get them, up in the sky, ready to pounce and judge them. Others who would perhaps think that God is rather like Father Christmas, that, you know, if you ask, you'll get. That God is the one to blame when everything goes wrong. God is far away and disinterested. And we said that even as Christians, sometimes we can make God in our own image. This is the way that I think of God. This is the way that I want God to be. I can't remember who it was, but one of the preachers of old once preached a sermon entitled, Your God is Too Small. Is our God sometimes too small? We think that he's only just beating the devil, maybe by a whisper, that he's not that great. But Isaiah here, as we look this morning, he tells us who our God is. And I'll just quickly run over those points again, but not for long. He is the sovereign Lord. It's mentioned several times in this chapter, and the chapters around chapter 40 to 46. He is the sovereign Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of all, who cannot and will never be displaced. He will never abdicate. He will never be thrown off his throne. He will never, like poor Charles I, get his head chopped off. He will never die. He is the sovereign, the one who is in charge, the one who rules all things. He is the only true God. He cannot be compared with idols of wood and stone and gold. He cannot be compared with the idols that we make of ourselves, the idols that we make of wealth and fame. He is the only true God. He is eternal. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. His word endures forever. He will reign forever and ever. He has no beginning, he has no end. He is the creator. And if we read some of these chapters, we read again and again about how he sits and he looks at this earth that he has made and measures it in his hands and with his arm span. Another place it tells us he knows all the stars, he counts them all and knows them by name. I don't even know all your names. But God knows the name of every star. How many stars are there? I don't know. A lot more than we think. In this vast universe that he created, we're not here by chance. We're here by his design, by his love, by his power. He is incomparable. We cannot compare God with anyone else. We've just sung, there is none like you. Nobody. The greatest person that we can ever imagine meeting on this earth. I don't know who that might be. Don't even begin to compare with God. The best person who ever lived on this earth, apart from Jesus, can't even begin to compare with God. The richest person on earth. Yeah, the one that lives in that palace with all the gold and the gold-plated yacht and whatever else they've got. Their glory cannot even begin to compare with the glory of God and the glory of heaven. He is incomparable. He is all-wise. God doesn't need anyone to teach him anything. In the best possible sense, he knows it all. You know, some people say, oh, I know that, I know it all. Well, actually, God does. God does know it all. No one needed to teach him anything. He never needs to ask anyone for advice, although we sometimes give it to him, don't we? I think you should do this, God. Wouldn't it be a good idea if? God is all wise. He is untiring. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is always there, always ready to listen, always available in that sense. And he is holy, totally different to you and me. Not just a bit better, but totally different in all his ways. Perfect, totally loving, totally just, totally true, totally faithful. He is holy in all his ways. This is the God that I hope and trust that we all believe in, that we have all put our trust in. But he is also the one who will be our shepherd, the one who will help us, and the one who will strengthen us. He is the God who creates, the God who reigns, and the God who sustains. So we have a God who is holy, eternal, incomparable, all-wise and caring. And in this chapter, Isaiah first of all reminds the people of God's greatness. In their hour of need, he reminds them that God is great. You know, in our hours of need, and we all get them, don't we? We need to be reminded that we have a God who is great. That greater is he that is in us than the one who is in the world. That is a great rock on which we stand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. If we let go of the idea that our God is great and sovereign and loving and caring, we will flounder. Our feelings will get the better of us, and we might be tempted to give up in despair. But Isaiah here reminds me, but this is your God. And he's got a message of hope and comfort to those who are in despair. And as I said this morning, in your locality, in my locality, in our country, in our world, there are millions of people in despair. For all sorts of different reasons. But for many of them, it will be because they know nothing of these truths about God. They either don't believe in him at all, or don't think that they matter to him. Isaiah here says, comfort my people. Comfort, says your God. It's a personal relationship. It's a loving relationship. And he speaks these words of comfort. We're getting ready for a concert in Dinis Powys at the moment, and we're singing, oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Tidings of comfort and joy. God rest ye merry gentlemen. Nothing you dismay. It's a bit old-fashioned, isn't it? But that line says, tidings of comfort and joy. God says, here, comfort my people. It's a message of comfort because God is speaking tenderly to Jerusalem. And he speaks tenderly to us. You know, there are times that God speaks sternly. There are times that God maybe has to shout to get our attention. But here he's speaking tenderly. I mean, if you want to go and comfort somebody, you don't normally go and shout at them, do you? It's not a good idea. Buck yourself up! I've got some words of comfort for you today. No, we go alongside the person who needs comfort, don't we? Put our arms on their shoulders, hold their hand. Maybe say nothing at all. Whisper a few words. God is speaking tenderly to us in this passage. And there are some beautiful pictures of a tender, loving, personal God. And he reminds us here that there's been a payment for sin. Now I know here the Israelites have made their own payment. They sinned against God, they've been in exile, and now they're going home. God has a message of comfort for us. Our sin has been paid for. We don't have to pay it for ourselves. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He says to us today, your sin has been paid for. Trust in me. It's a message of good news. A message of good news. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout and do not be afraid. The gospel is good news. That's what it means. Good news. Yes, there are some bits of the news that are not so good. We have to tell people that they are not right with God. And some people won't like that. But you know, the good news is that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. That God loved us so much that he sent his son. So if we believe in him, we won't suffer the consequences of our sin, but that we will know him now and forever in heaven, in eternal, everlasting life. Good news. Are we sharing the good news with other people, in the way that we live, in the way that we speak, in the things that we do? It's good news. And it's a message about God's care. But one minute, Isaiah is saying, the Lord comes with power. He's got a mighty arm and he's ruling. And that's true. And then we have this wonderful picture. It's one of the most gentle bits in Handel's Messiah, isn't it? If I had the music, I'd sing it to you. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Is that your picture of God? Like a shepherd who tends a flock. I don't know much about shepherding. But you know, shepherds, they tend their flock, don't they? You know, they mark them. They keep them safe. They feed them. They lead them. God is a shepherd who longs to tend and look after us. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. Gently lead us. This is our God, the great Almighty One. And you know, in John chapter 10, Jesus talks about being the shepherd. He says this. Start in verse 9. I am the gate, or I am the door. And if you remember, in these times, the shepherd was actually the door. The sheepfold had no door. The shepherd would count the sheep in and then lie in front of it to guard those sheep, to make sure that nothing got in and that they didn't get out. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they may have life and have it to the full. And how does he do that? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. Our God is the shepherd who cares for us so much that the shepherd becomes the lamb who was slain for us. And in Psalm 23, can we all say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me. He makes me lie down. He feeds me. He comforts me. He strengthens me. One day he'll take me home and I will dwell in his house forever. This wonderful God is our shepherd who cares for us. And it's a message of God's strength. It's a message of God's strength. It's the sovereign Lord who comes with power, the one who rules with a mighty arm. And then we read these words. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. Psalm 121 verse 4 says, he never slumbers, he never sleeps. He's always there. You know, when our daughter was quite young, or when she was a baby, so she was very young then, we used to have a baby alarm next to my side of the bed. And quite often I would feel John kicking me or shaking me, saying, can't you hear her? She's screaming down that thing and I'm fast asleep. So I'd say, well, you go then. God never sleeps. Why? Because he's strong. He doesn't need to sleep. You know, one of the taunts that Elijah said about the prophets of Baal's God was, where is he? Has he gone to sleep? You better shout loud and wake him up. We don't need to shout loud at God because he's always awake. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't even get tired of us praying. He doesn't say, oh no, here she is again. He's always glad when we come to speak to him. And it doesn't matter whether it's the early morning or the middle of the day or in the middle of the night when we can't sleep. God isn't asleep. God is awake. And he's always there, ready to listen to us. He never tires. And he never grows weary. You know, we grow weary, don't we, sometimes? We need to stop. We need to rest. I know we're told that God rested on the seventh day. But I don't think it was because he was tired. It was to give us an example that we needed to rest. He never needs to rest. He's always there. Always strong. He never loses his power. He never becomes weak. God doesn't need to be recharged. He has the same power, the same strength, 24/7, so we can come to him. And we're told that he gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. There's even young people grow tired and weary. And you know, I really think that's true. I don't know if it always was, but I think it's true these days. You know, they have so many burdens on them. School is hard. Exams are tough. Expectations are high. You know, I sometimes, I get on the bus most morning with a busload of youngsters going to school. They look tired before they started. You know, they grow tired. They grow weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, this God who is all-powerful, who is all-sovereign, all-knowing, all-wise, all-loving, all-caring, those who put their hope in him will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Those who trust in him will find strength, power, the ability to persevere, and the ability to soar and run in all circumstances. You know, Paul wrote, didn't he, that when he was weak, his God was strong. That God's strength was made perfect in his weakness. And that he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him. You know, each one of us from time to time gets tired. We get physically tired. Maybe because we're just getting that bit older, or because we're doing a bit too much, or because life is hard. Sometimes we get emotionally tired. Things just get on top of us because there's just so much going on. Sometimes we even get spiritually tired. Can't be bothered today. I feel like reading my Bible. Oh my God, I go to church. I'm just too tired. Too tired all around. We grow weary. Paul tells us not to get weary in doing good. He tells us that we should persevere. Throw off everything that hinders us and carry on running the race. But it's not always easy, is it? There are times when we feel so tired and weary that we just want to sit down and stop. I've probably told you before that I'm no runner. Never have been, never will be. My niece is a good runner. She ran the half marathon the other week. It's not for me. But, you know, even those runners get weary. You know, sometimes they stop, perhaps don't stop, but they slow down for a little while, don't they? They have a quick sip of water, throw it over their heads, and then they carry on. When we grow tired, that's it up to Jesus. You know, the old chorus, when the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He alone has power to keep. Fix your eyes upon him. Jesus is a faithful friend, one in whom you can depend. He will keep you to the end. Fix your eyes upon him. When we grow weary, turn to him, and he will give us power and strength and perseverance. And he will help us to soar. I read this quote by Selwyn Hughes talking about the eagle. If an eagle's wings are set at a downward tilt when the storm hits, it will be dashed to pieces. But if the wings are tilted upwards, it will rise, bearing itself above the storm's fury. You know, you ever watch birds? They're pretty amazing, aren't they? You know, their wings are spread out and you think, how are they doing that? And they can fly so high. They can fly above the storm. They soar even high above that turmoil. And apparently that's because their wings are tilted up. We will all know the storms of life. Let's tilt our wings up to God so that we can soar above those trials. We'll still have to go through them. So it doesn't make it easy. We will find strength in our hour of need. And there are some wonderful verses in Isaiah chapter 43 and 46, which carry on talking about this wonderful God that we believe in. These are words to remind us of God's greatness and God's love, even in the most difficult of times. They're probably words that we all know well. But just let them sink in, not just to our heads, but to our hearts tonight. This is what the Lord says. He who created you, he who formed you, do not fear. Do not fear. Why? For I have redeemed you. He's bought us back. He's brought us back to himself at the cost of his blood, the cost of his sacrifice. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Wow. Does God feel far away? Does he sometimes? Cling on to those words. He created you. You're not here by accident, no matter what anyone says. He formed you, knew you in your mother's womb. He has redeemed you with the precious blood of his son. He has called you by name. Now, God knows the name of every person who's ever lived and ever will live. That's a pretty big address book, isn't it? He knows you by name. You are his. His forever. Only his. Who the Lord and me can part. Oh, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the longing heart. I am his, and he is mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. You are precious and honoured in my sight, and I love you. This is our God, the one that we were singing praises to. Because he's so great and so mighty and so holy. He loves you. He loves me. And in chapter 46, listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, or the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth, and ye have carried since you were born. Even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. This is our God, the one who has upheld us since our birth, the one who has carried us. And I'm not looking around, but even to our old age and grey hairs, he is the one who will sustain us. He is the one who will give us the power to continue, who will give us the strength to carry on when it seems everything is lost, when it seems that this world is going mad, when it seems that sometimes life has lost its purpose. God will sustain us as we cast our burdens on the Lord, because he will sustain us. As we cast our burdens on him, because he knows that we know that he cares for us. And it says, I have made you, I will carry you, I will sustain you and rescue you. In all circumstances and all times, we can go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. There's a verse in the Bible that says, these things I know, our God is strong and our God is loving. That's why we can turn to him at any time. Not just because we want him to do whatever we ask him to do. He's not a magic slot machine in the sky that will do anything we ask him. He is God. He is sovereign. He will do what is right. He will do what it takes to work his will in this world. But we know that he is loving. And he will always answer our prayers that will one day lead to our good. We will find that his strength is made perfect in weakness. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we need to share this message of God's greatness and God's love. And we will do it in different ways. At the beginning, Isaiah talks about speaking tenderly. And there will be times when we proclaim this gospel message quietly and tenderly. For people who need comfort, not being shouted at. There will be times when we will cry out. There will be times when we lift up our voice with a shout. God is great. God is love. God cares. As his children, we should know these things and remember them. But there are many people out there who have no idea. If they believe in God at all, what sort of God do they believe in? Yeah, sometimes people say, I believe in God. What difference does it make? Does it make any difference at all? If we believe in the true God, it will make all the difference in the world for every day of our lives and for our eternity. Let's pray. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. This is what I love to do. And Father, we have worshipped you tonight with our songs and with our prayers, with our Bible reading and hopefully with our thoughts. And Father, we want that worship that we've given you tonight to make a difference as we go into this new week. Father, we pray that we will not stop worshipping you. Even as we get up tomorrow to go to work or do the housework or whatever it is we're called to do tomorrow, may everything we do be an act of worship to the servant king, to our great God who became a man in order to die and pay the price for our sin and rise again. Oh, we thank you. We thank you that our God is great. Our God is mighty. Our God is loving. And so we pray that our lives, whether we speak tenderly and quietly, or shout the good news, or tell other people just how much you love them, and that they can know you too. So, Father, we pray that you will fill us afresh with your Spirit and give us the power to go into this new week to serve the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.